In the book of Deuteronomy. So if you would, start finding your way to Deuteronomy chapter 27. Before we read this, I should kind of let you know that this passage contains some kind of can of worms type stuff, some sensitive type stuff. You know, most of the time the Bible is not G-rated. It's usually PG, but sometimes it ventures into R-rated stuff. And we're not going to dwell on that stuff during the sermon. But in order to be true to the passage, we're going to read it. And if you, you know, need to usher kids out or something, feel free to do that. But nonetheless, let's stand as we read God's Word and as I have your attention. All right, Deuteronomy chapter 27, starting in verse 9 through verse 26. Then Moses and the Levitical priests said to all Israel, "Keep silence and hear, O Israel. This day you have become the people of the Lord your God. You shall therefore obey the voice of the Lord your God, keeping his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today." That day Moses charged the people, saying, "When you've crossed over the Jordan, these shall stand on Mount Gerizim to bless the people, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Joseph, and Benjamin. And these shall stand on Mount Ebal for the curse, Reuben, Gad, Asher, Zebulun, Dan, and Naphtali. And the Levites shall declare to all the men of Israel in a loud voice, 'Cursed be the man who makes a carved or cast metal image, an abomination to the Lord, a thing made by the hands of a craftsman, and sets it up in secret.' And all the people shall answer and say, 'Amen.' Cursed be anyone who dishonors his father or his mother." And all the people shall say, "Amen." "Cursed be anyone who moves his neighbor's landmark." And all the people shall say, "Amen." "Cursed be anyone who misleads a blind man on the road." And all the people shall say, "Amen." "Cursed be anyone who perverts the justice due to the sojourner, the fatherless, and the widow." And all the people shall say, "Amen." "Cursed be anyone who lies with his father's wife, because he has uncovered his father's nakedness." And all the people shall say, "Amen." "Cursed be anyone who lies with any kind of animal." And all the people shall say, "Amen." "Cursed be anyone who lies with his sister, whether the daughter of his father or the daughter of his mother." And all the people shall say, "Amen." "Cursed be anyone who lies with his mother-in-law." And all the people shall say, "Amen." "Cursed be anyone who strikes down his neighbor in secret." And all the people shall say, "Amen." "Cursed be anyone who takes a bribe to shed innocent blood." And all the people shall say, "Amen." "Cursed be anyone who does not confirm the words of this law by doing them." And all the people shall say, "Amen." This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the truth of your word. It is a gracious gift to us. We pray that we would submit our hearts and wills to it, that you would submit our hearts and wills to it. We pray that we would digest it, that we would take it seriously, and we'd seek to apply it to our lives. Unpack what the scripture means today, and let us be faithful and true. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So today is Mother's Day, so happy Mother's Day. I'd like to start off this morning reading a poem in honor of all the moms here. This was written by the prolific poet Anonymous, and here it goes. "Mom, I know you do the dishes, and I know you cook the food. I know you scrub down all the floors, even when you're in a bad mood. And every night you walk the dog while I'm watching all my shows. On Thursdays, you take out the trash. And every spring you wash the windows. Mom, I know you're sad. I'll go someday and leave you all alone. But right now I'm only 35, so what other place could I call home?" Now, I know that's kind of silly, but being a mom is hard work. Being a mama is hard. Some mothers get the hang of it. They're pretty confident. They do phenomenal jobs. Some mothers are complete failures. I'm talking about, you know, not fit for motherhood, abusive, addicted, selfish as all get out. But I think most mothers are somewhere in between. They're struggling, They're tired. They're questioning their abilities. They're questioning their fitness for motherhood. They're probably somewhere close to being phenomenal, but they often see themselves as failures. The bottom line is that every mama needs the gospel. Wherever you are on that continuum, whatever kind of mother your mom is or was, whatever kind of mother you are, every mama needs the gospel. I know the passage for today has some crazy stuff in it, but I want to hone in on verse 16. Cursed be anyone who dishonors his father or his mother. Cursed be anyone who dishonors his father or his mother. I could have just chosen that verse by itself as the text for the sermon, but that wouldn't have done justice to the surrounding text. And we'll get into the background of what's going on in a few moments. But if anyone who dishonors his father or mother is cursed, then it stands to reason that anyone who honors his father or mother is blessed. So this morning we're going to go answer the question, how can I honor or bless my mother? For starters, we can honor our mothers by refraining from all the crazy stuff mentioned in the passage. But I would argue that the number one way you can bless your mom is by giving them the gospel. This sermon is addressed to moms, it's addressed to folks who have moms, and it's addressed to anyone who knows moms, which I think it pretty much covers everybody. From the Got It Together mom to the terrible mom, to the tired mom, the gospel is for every mama. So let's dig in. So what's going on in this passage? The whole book of Deuteronomy is about covenant renewal. Not long after the Israelites were freed from the Egyptian slavery, God gave Israel the Ten Commandments and the law. And several decades later, we find Moses giving them the law again, so to speak. This is a time of recommitment before they enter the Promised Land. In the preceding passage, Moses instructs the people of Israel to set up an altar at Mount Ebal as soon as they enter into Canaan. They're to offer sacrifices, recommit themselves to God there. Mount Ebal was a special place. We see hundreds of years earlier that Abraham had built an altar there and offered sacrifices to God. We see that Jacob, Abraham's grandson, offered sacrifices to God at Mount Ebal. And then we see that Joseph's bones were buried at Mount Ebal. So why do you think Moses wanted the Israelites to set up shop at Mount Ebal? I think one reason was to remind them of God's promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Those ancient promises were directly tied to Israel's current situation and Israel's future destiny. They were on the verge of conquest in the land promised to Abraham. So immediately after those sacrifices, in the preceding passage, we find ourselves in verse 9. Look at what Moses says in verse 9. Then Moses and the Levitical priests said to all Israel, "Keep silence and hear. O Israel, this day you have become the people of the Lord your God. You shall therefore obey the voice of the Lord your God, keeping his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today." Now, did Israel become the people of God that day, or had they not been the people of God for a long time before that? They had been the people of God a long time before that. I think what Moses is doing here, he's simply reminding them that they are the people of God. Today you have become the people of God. In other words, you've been the people of God, you are the people of God, you need to remember that. These verses sound a lot like the introduction to the Ten Commandments. This is what was. This is how the Ten Commandments were introduced. It's called the prologue to the Decalogue. Decalogue is Ten Commandments, prologue is kind of introduced the Ten Commandments. "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery." You see, the law was not given so that Israel could become the people of God. The law was given because they were the people of God. God rescued them out of Egypt. They were already God's people. Then out of an act of love, he gave them the Ten Commandments as instructions on how to live in the desert and in the Promised Land. He didn't bring these people out and say, "Okay, here's the Ten Commandments. If you follow them, you will be my people." They were his people by the fact that he saved them out of his grace and mercy. Obedience is not required because we need God to love us. Obedience is required because God loves us. That's how we need to understand the law. That's how we need to understand imperatives in the Scripture. All the imperatives are based on the indicatives. The indicative being a statement about who you are. You are the children of God. Now, as children of God, go and do this. The imperative does not come before the indicative. Here, do this, and then you can become the children of God, right? That's how we need to understand the law. But basically, bottom line, this is the gospel. God saves people. And then He blesses them with maybe instructions on how to live so that they can prosper. God saves people. If you are a child of God, it's simply because He, out of His grace and mercy, has delivered you from slavery to sin. God is a holy God. There is no stairway to heaven where we can take one step after another and end up in His presence. He had to come down to us. Jesus, the one and only God-man, came to us. He fulfilled all that the law required. He lived the perfect life we couldn't live. He paid the sin debt we couldn't pay. He died the death we couldn't die. And He has given us everlasting life that we can never attain on our own. Tired moms need the gospel. When you're giving every ounce of your being to mother your children, you need to be reminded that God gave His one and only Son so that you could be His child. You are His child and He doesn't get tired. You are His child and He doesn't get frustrated or angry at you. You are His child and He delights in you. You are His child and He cares for you. You are His child and He loves you. Even though taking care of your children can wear you down, you need to remember that the sovereign God of the universe is your daddy. There's nothing you can do to get Him to love you more or love you less. Even on your worst days, especially on your worst days, He loves you and delights in you. So I want you to listen to me, mothers. This day, you are His. And you always will be. If this is what tired moms need to hear, then this is what husbands, children, and friends need to be preaching. So honor a struggling mom today by giving them the gospel. Tired mamas need the gospel. Moving on, looking at verse 11. Moses gives the Israelites some further instructions. After they enter into the promised land and perform the sacrifices at Mount Ebal, he wants them to hold a covenant renewal ceremony. And all the men of Israel are supposed to gather at Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim. Half of them are to gather on one mountainside and half on the other. Think of that. All the men of Israel. I mean, we're talking at least 500,000, up to a million, up to maybe several million. All right. Depends on where you get your information from. But that's a lot of men. They're to gather on both sides of these mountains. The Levites are supposed to set up shop in the valley. All right. So imagine I had all y'all stand up, move to the sides. I stood in the middle and we're starting to go through a covenant renewal. I declare the blessings of the covenant. I declare the curses of the covenant. And you say amen to everything. Well, that's what's happening here at Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim. The Levites are set up shop in the valley. They are the priests and the ministers of Israel. Moses tells the Levites to read the blessings and curses of the covenant out loud. The men on the mountains are told to respond by saying amen. Amen means so be it. Absolutely. Right on. You got that right. We are in full agreement. So they agree to everything that was read in this covenant renewal ceremony. And then we read in Joshua chapter 8. So Deuteronomy is the fifth book of the Pentateuch, first five books of the Bible. Moses wrote it right before the Israelites were going to go into the promised land. Then Moses dies before they go into the promised land, right? And then as they enter into the promised land, who's the leader? Joshua's the leader, and he takes Israel into conquest. In Joshua chapter 8, the Israelites did exactly what Moses had commanded them in Deuteronomy. they hold this covenant renewal ceremony. And we also read in Joshua chapter 8 that the Ark of the Covenant was there with the Levites at the ceremony. Now, we should have gathered that from reading in Deuteronomy, because the Levites were in charge of the Ark of the Covenant, all right? It just wasn't explicitly brought out by Moses when he gave them the instructions. But when we look in Joshua chapter 8, Joshua makes a big deal about the Ark of the Covenant being there in the valley with the Levites. I believe that this served as a reminder to the Israelites that the only reason they are in the promised land is because Yahweh has been with them. If you remember, the ark symbolized the presence of God. More than that, God was present in a special way with the Ark of the Covenant. And by the way, by Joshua chapter 8, they had already conquered Jericho. Remember the instructions for Jericho? March around seven times, the Levites leading with the Ark of the Covenant. God's presence in a special way. The Ark of the Covenant was used to lead the Israelites into war. It was a sign and picture, an actual tangible reality of God's presence with them as they went to war. But also in the desert for those 40 years, we know God led the Israelites by, a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Well, the first thing behind the, as the whole nation's following, the Levites are at the front of the pack, and at the front of the Levites is the ark. And just in front of the ark is the pillar, the cloud by day, fire by night. The ark is what led the Israelites through the desert. And so I think when they had the ark down here in this covenant renewal ceremony, that it was a reminder to all those men on the mountains that the only reason you're here in this promised land is because of God's presence with you, because of God's faithfulness. Yahweh was their God. Yahweh was their leader. He was always with them, leading and protecting. So here they were in the promised land only by the grace of God. The Got It Together mom needs the gospel too. How is it her kids are so well behaved? Only by the grace of God. How is it her house looks like a Southern Living spread? Only by the grace of God. How is she able to cook meals that are tasty and gluten free? Only by the grace of God. How do all of her Pinterest projects come out looking just like the pictures? Only by the grace of God. How is it she seems to sincerely enjoy every minute spent with her kids? Only by the grace of God. Where does she find time to write cute notes on the custom-trimmed PB&J sandwiches? Only by the grace of God. How in the world is she able to work outside of the home and take care of the house? Only by the grace of God. I could go on and on, but you get the point, and I don't want you tired moms to feel bad about not having all these things down. Actually, you need to look at the Got It Together moms with gospel-infused lenses. Thank God for His grace in their lives. Don't look at them and question His love for you. The work of Christ in justification brings us all to the Father. We're all on the same footing in that regard. But sanctification is a mixed bag. Different people have different struggles. Different moms have different strengths. But we're all here by the grace of God. Now, Got It Together moms need to be careful of pride and judgmentalism. Don't use God's grace in your life to look down on others. Know that there were 1,000 factors outside of your control that have led you to being a Got It Together mom. Even your hard work or your desire to work hard is a result of God's grace. He has led you here. He has fought many battles for you. You are where you are by the grace of God. You need the gospel too. Got It Together moms need the gospel. Let's look at the last verse of our passage, verse 26. This is how the Levites are going to end the covenant renewal ceremony. All the men of Israel gathered on the two mountains. The Levites have read the blessings and curses of the covenant. Everyone has responded with amens. And now, the last words from the Levites. Listen to this. Cursed be anyone who does not confirm the words of this law by doing them. Cursed be anyone who does not confirm the words of this law by doing them. This was serious business. Remember, they just set up an altar at Mount Ebal, right, in the preceding passage? They just offered sacrifices. They knew what disobedience deserved. The wages of sin is death. And the truth is that all of us are lawbreakers. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But listen to the good news of the gospel. Galatians chapter 3, verses 10 through 14. Cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them. Sounds a lot like the verse we just read. Now it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law. No one is justified before God by the law. The righteous shall live by faith. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree, so that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. Apart from Christ, we're all cursed. But listen to this. Because of Christ, no one is too far gone. Because of Christ, we're all cursed, but I'm sorry. Apart from Christ, we're all cursed, but because of Christ, no one is too far gone. Terrible moms need the gospel, too. Moms, I don't know if you struggle with being a terrible mom or thinking you're a terrible mom, but whatever you've done or however bad you think it is, you need to know that you are not out of reach of God's great grace. Some of you here may have had some bad upbringings. I'm talking about abusive home lives. I'm talking about neglect. But here's where your understanding of grace really gets tested. Your mom needs the gospel. Mother's Day comes around every year, and every year you have a hard time with it. You don't want to deal with how abusive your mom was. You don't want to deal with how your mom left you at the house alone for hours and hours. You don't want to deal with how spiteful, angry, or hurtful she was. You've written her off, and it's hard to even find a Mother's Day card that doesn't give her too much credit. Well, if you understand grace, you know that God saved us when we were yet sinners. When we were enemies with God, when we didn't want anything to do with Him, He forgave us when we didn't even ask for it. Terrible moms need the gospel too. Show them grace. Pray for God's redemptive work in their lives. Honor your mother. Something else I want to mention. I want to mention our attitudes towards terrible moms. What do you do when you see a terrible mom? Yeah, I'm talking about the kind that are abusive in public. The kind that check out when they're at home. Kids running around barefoot, 10-hour-old diapers, that kind of stuff. Do you give those folks the gospel? I know our attitudes, our tendencies are to be dismissive, to be judgmental. Definitely don't get too close. Don't get involved, because that is messy living and that's a messy life. Those are dirty people, whatever you want to say. And I know we've all probably done it. But the truth is, those terrible moms need the gospel. They need people like you and me who are willing to at least have a conversation, to show some grace, to reach out. We got to be willing to get our hands dirty. If we expect God to be working redemptively in this world, then He tends to use His people to do that. And we have to be willing to get on board. So give terrible moms the gospel too, all right? The Israelites, they just marched into Canaan. And they just took over What's the city I mentioned? Jericho. They just took over Jericho. You remember how all that went down at Jericho? Remember the spies that went in? Who'd they meet up with? I think they met up with a terrible mom. They met up with Rahab, the prostitute. Chances are she had children. And chances are she probably wasn't a great mama. Because I don't know how many great mamas are prostitutes. But then what do we see in the book of Hebrews? Rahab's listed in the list of the heroes of the faith. God did a redemptive work in her life. Terrible moms need the gospel too. Terrible mothers need the gospel too. So, in conclusion, being a mama is hard. And something else, shopping for mamas is hard too. I know we have this idea of finding the perfect Mother's Day gift. I want to share a few things with you. You know, the old joke about giving a mom a vacuum cleaner on Mother's Day, it's not too far-fetched. Just hear me out. If it's an acknowledgement of Dad that being a mother is hard. We just want to make your work a little easier, right? So, the whole vacuum cleaner unit. But that's a bad gift idea. Don't do that. I read about one mom who was expecting a gift certificate to a spa, and she got a chainsaw. So, you know, for some moms, that's probably the perfect gift. But if you're expecting a gift certificate to a spa and you get a chainsaw. One kid went with his dad to buy a Mother's Day gift. He came back with this cream to help remove age spots. And his mom was 28, so that was an interesting gift. And finally, I think the favorite gift I read about was, I don't know if this was the husband or the child, but this lady got a cigar and leftover Easter candy. So, Leanne, I'm sorry, I could have done that for you. I mean, no problem. I have all the resources. But listen, here's the deal. If you're talking about Mother's Day gifts, and this might sound cliche, but the best gift you can give a mom is Jesus. The best gift you can give a mom is the gospel. The best gift you can give a mom is the understanding that her position in Christ is secure because of the work of Christ. God's going to love her. God does love her, period. The best thing you can give your mom, even if she's a terrible mom, is the gospel. Understand your position in Christ has nothing to do with what you've done. Love her the same way. Jesus is the best gift. Being a mom is hard, hard work. But when it comes to the gospel, Christ has done all the work. That is a freeing truth. The tired mom, the got it together mom, and the terrible mom. They all need the gospel. Give them grace. Give them Jesus. Happy Mother's Day. Let's pray. God, we thank you for the truth of your gospel.